Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. It is a Super Tuesday. If you live in a Super Tuesday state, please get out and exercise your right to vote. Man, is it a gorgeous one yet again here in mid-Michigan. I am loving this weather right now. We are certainly getting just a taste of what's around the corner, hopefully around the corner. Springtime knocking on the door, and it was beautiful yesterday. I mean, the sun was out, the sky was blue, temps in the upper 40s. And we're seeing temps in the mid to upper 40s again today. Just amazing stuff. So soak it up, folks. And thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Tuesday afternoon. A few things to get to on today's Current Sports. On today's show, I want to dive into... I do want to take a pause just briefly during our discussion and debate section of today's Current Sports. And I'm going to actually address off top in segment A, the Detroit Lions and this whole chatter concerning what they should do with that number 3 overall NFL draft pick. As many of you know, the NFL Combine is now said and done, as of course metrics and measurements and all of that jazz, interviews, all that took place out in Indianapolis, Indiana, inside of Lucas Oil Stadium, home of the Indianapolis Colts, this past weekend. So the measurements are in, the interviews are kaput, and now we look toward what is going to go down at the NFL draft in Las Vegas. So what should the Lions do with that number 3 pick? It's pretty obvious to me. But nothing's obvious when discussing one of the worst NFL franchises in the history of the NFL. And then, of course, we are going to preview the MSU men's basketball matchup tonight on the road as Tom Izzo and his surging Spartans will take on Penn State, looking to enact a bit of revenge on the Nittany Lions. Because if you remember, the first time these two teams met earlier this year, Penn State was able to come to the Breslin Center and get the dub. So we'll dive into that as well. And I also do want to address the situation concerning one of our beloved cinematic directors of all time, Spike Lee. And an interesting run-in he had at MSG last night, Madison Square Garden. So all of that and more. If you want to weigh in, I want to hear from the Lions fans out there. What do you believe the Lions should and will do come this year's NFL draft? Again, that number 3 overall pick, because we all know those are two different questions, right? And what do you think happens tonight? Michigan State and Penn State. Want to hear those predictions as well. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call or text now. You can also weigh in right below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Connor Mathis of the Argus Press in for back-to-back days. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you don't know, now you know. Girls high school basketball districts open this week. And I want to pass along a few scores that when it comes to games that opened up yesterday. East Lansing topped Grand Ledge 77-33. Hazlitt over Lansing Catholic 47-39. Holt beat Everett 71-26. Fowler over Lansing Christian, 56-24. Williamston laying the smackdown on Lansing Eastern, 64-18. Jackson Northwest over Mason, 46-37. Langsburg over Dansville, 37-20. And Byron over Perry, 57-37. So a 20-point win there for Byron. And behind the glass, Connor Mathis of the Argus Press. You are certainly close to the high school sporting scene here in mid-Michigan because that's primarily your beat for the Argus Press. And you were actually at those last two games that I read, Langsburg defeating Dansville and Byron over Perry. Anything you want to, you know, want to expound upon when it comes to those games and how, you know, how much of a state championship contender are both Langsburg and Byron, I guess?
So the Langsburg game versus Danville, that was a brutal offensive showing for both teams. Langsburg struggled a lot in the first half. I mean, the end of the first half, if I remember correctly, the score was Langsburg 9, Danville 8. So both teams really struggled offensively in that game. Langsburg kind of was able to put it together towards the second half and mostly in the fourth quarter. But again, most of their points came from the free throw line. So that's something they really have to work on, especially since their defense is kind of a press oriented. So they need a score to set up that press. Byron, though, looked really good. Byron kind of took control of that game real early. We were able to get some threes. We were able to get the transition game going. We were able to get some really dominate the boards. Perry just kind of didn't really have an answer for it. I mean, credit to the Ramblers. They hung in there for about a quarter, but I mean, Byron kind of opened the floodgates on them, and there was just no stopping them once they took control.
And again, what district venue was that at?
Was at Dansville.
That was at Dansville. So they are now eliminated from postseason contention, but they are the host team when it comes to that district. How far do you think Langsburg and Byron are going to go? Who do you think wins that district?
I think Byron has a real shot of winning that district. They've only lost once this season. They've already broken the school record for, you know, most wins in the regular season. They look like a complete team. They've got shooters. They've got the dominant post presence. Their defense is pretty solid. You know, it's one of those things where if you stop the post, then their shooters step up. If you stop the shooters, then the post can go to work. So I think they're just going to be a really challenging team to stop. They're one of the more complete teams that I cover, at least.
Nice. So will you be at that district throughout the week?
I think so. Okay. Wednesday's kind of up in the air because we had a couple of winners. So hopefully I stick in that district because it was, you know, fun games to watch.
Okay. Awesome stuff. Thank you for that, Connor. Okay, and as I mentioned, Michigan State men's basketball has won 3 in a row and 4 of its last 5 as they now travel to Happy Valley for a road tilt against the struggling Nittany Lions. Penn State has not won a home matchup over Michigan State since 2010-2011. Penn State is in danger of falling out of the top four in the Big Ten standings and missing out on a double bye in next week's conference tournament. So tip time tonight is set for 7 p.m. That one can be seen on ESPN. We'll have more on that game later on this hour. Also want to note that Michigan State point guard great Cassius Winston is the Big Ten Player of the Week for the second time this season. The seventh in his career, the senior reached an elite level in a pair of Spartan wins over Iowa and Maryland to keep their Big Ten title hopes alive. Winston churned in 20 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds against Iowa, scoring 19 points in that game in the second half alone, including 11 in the span of 3 minutes in that 78-70 win over the Hawkeyes. And the Detroit native followed that up with 20 points, going 5-for-6 from 3-point range. He handed out 6 assists and also had 3 boards as the Spartans took down Maryland on Saturday, 78-66 at the Xfinity Center. So, Cassius Winston, congratulations to him. Again, just showing why he is one of the best players in the nation. All right, Michigan State women's basketball had 2 players named to the All-Big Ten team yesterday as voted on by the 14 lead coaches and the media, announced by the conference office of the Big Ten. Sophomore guard Nia Clouden and senior guard Taryn McCutcheon were both named second team All-Big Ten by the Big Ten coaches. Clouden was named second team by the media, while McCutcheon grabbed honorable mention honors there. And Clouden earned all Big Ten honors for the second straight season after capturing honorable mention honors as a freshman by both the coaches and the media. Last season, she was also on the all-freshman squad. McCutcheon becomes just the 6th Michigan State women's basketball player to earn all Big Ten accolades all 4 years as a Spartan. And as I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, Taryn McCutcheon became the all-time assist leader in Michigan State women's basketball history this past weekend. So congratulations to her. Again, she passed the great Kristen Haney, who is now on Susie Merchant's coaching staff. All right, Michigan State baseball redshirt sophomore infielder Peter Ahn has been named the Big Ten Conference Co-Player of the Week for his performance over the weekend. He is a native of Wisconsin. Ahn hit .636, 7 of 11 for the weekend, had 6 ribbies and 5 runs scored, helping Michigan State win the 2020 First Pitch Invitational, going 3-0 for the weekend at Fluor Field, home of the Greenville Drive. He posted an .818 slugging percentage and a .615 on base percentage. Ahn also added 2 stolen bases, 1 walk, and 1 sac fly in scoring 5 runs. So Peter Ahn and Cassius Winston taking home Big Ten Player of the Week honors for what they were able to do last week. All right, the Detroit Red Wings kept it close but continued their season-long trend of failing to generate really much offense in a 2-1 loss to Colorado. The Avalanche, Detroit has dropped 6 in a row, its 5th winless skid of 6 or more games this season. The Red Wings are now 15-48-5. The Avalanche at now 40-18-7 extended several streaks. They have won a franchise record 9 consecutive road games. They have won 7 in a row overall. They have won their past 6 games against the Red Wings. All right, and the Detroit Tigers, they are right now in Fort Myers to take on the Minnesota Twins. Right now, actually, that first pitch took place at 1:05 p.m. We'll give you a score update as the hour proceeds there. The Detroit Tigers, of course, in spring training action. And check out this. The number 9 is expecting number 4. Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford and his wife Kelly are expecting baby number 4 this summer. Kelly Stafford announced on Sunday via Instagram that news, writing, quote, "Got to enjoy one of the most magical places with my husband and 3 of our kiddos, not pictured, our middle baby girl, Hunty. Baby Stafford, number 4, due this summer. No worries. Well before training camp." Kelly Stafford goes on to type, quote, "We won't know whether the Stafford kids will continue as a girl squad or if a little brother will enter the craziness until baby is here, excited and exhausted." So congratulations to Matty Staff and his beautiful wife, Kelly. Baby number 4 on the way. And right now we proceed this hour to talk about the Detroit Lions and about what this franchise should do with the third overall pick of the NFL draft. Would love to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call or text now. You can text that number as well. If you don't want to call in, just shoot us a text. Every one of you out there texts all the time. So shoot us a text, and I'll read it live here on the airwaves. You can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or for those watching the live stream right now at Facebook.com/WKAR News, you know that you can just simply type in your comments right below that video as well. Let's proceed. Again, happy Tuesday to you all. You know, I also do want to note that there's some news coming out of the Olympics right now. I mean, can you believe that we're talking next week? Next week is the flame lighting ceremony for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, and news was reported this morning that ceremony will still take place in Greece. That's despite concerns about the global coronavirus outbreak. The Greek Olympic Committee said it is working closely with the national health authorities and will hold meetings to evaluate the situation every 2 days. The committee, known as the HOC, said that the Greek leg of the torch relay will go ahead. But this coronavirus, it is really dominating headlines right now. And I totally get it, because this outbreak is it's a little bit scary. Can't even lie. And, you know, also, shout out to all of our listeners out there. And specifically, I want to give a big shout out to Regina Cross of the Michigan State Alumni Association. Regina is just such an amazing, amazing person. And Regina has been a part of, you know, the MSU Alumni Association inviting me to be one of the MCs for the Michigan State Homecoming Parade these last few years. But I ran into Regina, who she listens all the time, maybe listening right now. I ran into her while grocery shopping yesterday, and she said that, Al, I am just getting just flooded with calls left and right when it comes to people here in East Lansing at Michigan State worried about the coronavirus and asking just a ton of questions. So it is certainly a scary thing. And again, this is bleeding on into the sports world now. Also, I saw that the NBA, I guess some players are petitioning that, you know, they want limited contact with the fans because of the coronavirus. So, you know, Connor, this is really scary stuff. I know that, you know, my hands right now need a lot of lotion and are a little ashy right now, because I've been washing my hands every 2 seconds, it feels like. You know what I mean? And just trying to make sure I'm good. But, you know, it's a little bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, it's the stage it's in now, at least in this country and, you know, all the states, is people just don't panic. I mean, That's right. The worst thing you can do is freak out in a situation like this and you take away supplies from, you know, the people that, you know, really need them, or you cause shortages, which again leads to panic, which isn't good in any crisis. So just kind of you have to find a balance between being absolutely freaked out and, you know, terrified to leave your house and, you know, being casual about not washing your hands, which you should be doing anyway. so
right, exactly.
You know, just
That's such a good point too, Connor, because there are so many people who go into panic mode and have gone into panic mode because of this. And again, you don't want to take supplies from those who really need it. No. There's a shortage of masks right now. I know I've been watching that in the news as well. So just please do what you need to do. Wash your hands. Don't put your hands towards your face if you can help it. And you know, just take a deep breath, right?
Yeah. Take a deep breath. Take it easy. Also, if you panic buy all the supplies, you realize things expire, right?
Right,
so
that's true.
If it does get as bad as you panic think it will be, in 2 months, half the stuff you just bought won't be worth it. So
right, exactly. You know, and I have a friend of mine who is like already kind of, I kid you not, he is stocking up on like non-perishable items. He's stocking up on water right now because he actually lives in one of the states that has been confirmed to have at least one person mm-hmm. with the virus. So he's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the grocery store and I'm stocking up and getting bottled water and non-perishable items. I'm ready. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Non-perishables is a little bit different. So
that's,
I mean,
if
it feels like you need to comfort yourself and you go and you get, you know, five cans of soup as opposed to your usual one or two per week, I mean, that's fine. But
there's
like,
nothing wrong with that, right?
Nothing wrong with that, but just don't overdo it. Don't be the guy or girl who goes into the store, fills up their entire shopping cart with cans and the 5 gallon jugs of water, and then leaves with nothing else in the store.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Please don't. Yeah. Don't be that person. Okay. But just be safe out there, guys. I wanted to pass that along. No, it's pretty hard to believe that. Yeah. I always forget that the Tokyo Olympics are right around the corner, and the flame lighting ceremony takes place just next week. Okay, all right. Speaking of panic, if you are a Detroit Lions fan right now and you haven't already been panicking when it comes to your franchise, well, you may be even more so now than ever when it comes to what the Lions, because I believe the Lions have a golden opportunity here. They have a golden opportunity, and I just really believe that they're going to play it safe because, you know, when you look at how this NFL draft is going to go, you know, the Lions, you know, I've been hearing this a lot. The draft really does not start until pick number 3, because we all know that Joe Burrow and Chase Young are going to be the first two players chosen in this year's NFL draft. And then it's like, Connor chimes in my ear and says, not so fast. Barring Armageddon, I don't see Burrow or Young not going 1 and 2, or Burrow going first, or Chase Young going first, and then the whoever second. But those two guys are going to be off the board by the time the Lions get to number 3. That's just my prediction here. I've heard some crazy predictions out there, and I'm just saying, no, really? I mean, come on. Who is going to be taking over Joe Burrow and Chase Young if you draft anybody other than
it's
those
not,
two?
It's,
come on, Connor.
It's not a matter of, from what I've been seeing and what I've been hearing, you know me. It's NFL offseason is great for me.
Are those the same reporters who are like buying into this whole San Francisco 49ers and Tom Brady nonsense?
Oh, no,
have you read
no,
that
no.
crap?
I haven't seen that. The stuff I've been seeing is that Washington is becoming increasingly inclined to fielding offers for the number 2 pick, because they're at the stage of their rebuild where they just need bodies and not necessarily like Chase Young. Chase Young would be a great get for them, but I think that there's a real possibility that they trade down with a team that's looking to get Tua, whether that be the Chargers, whether that be Miami, whether it be, you know, any of these teams that need a quarterback, because Washington can get the bodies that they need, and they can get some value back, and they can get some value back for that number 2 pick, while a team that needs a quarterback can leapfrog the Lions and take that possibility away from them.
Well, this is the thing. I don't even think you need to do that if you're a team looking at this, because I don't think the Lions are smart enough right now to draft Tua Tagovailoa. He's going to be there after the Lions pick, because, you know, everything that I've been reading, it alludes to the Lions picking a corner, who I will get to in just a moment. But It just blows my mind when you have an opportunity. Now, and I get it. Look, I want to address the elephant in the room. Everybody's been talking about Tua's injury history. We know that. In 2018, you know, the broken finger, the knee and quad injuries, the surgery on the left ankle. In 2019, you know, he had surgery on the other ankle, the right ankle. And we all know about the right hip problem. He also had to have surgery on that right hip. Those are pretty alarming injuries. But if you're the Detroit Lions, you ain't got nothing to lose, man. You are a franchise that has been in the basement of the league, a laughingstock. Many, many seasons. What do you have to lose? And if in fact Tua, you know, who has gone on the record and said that I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go, if he pans out for another franchise, you got to be looking at that and just kicking yourself. I mean, when you look at Tua's numbers alone, I mean, his production just absolutely through the roof. I mean, they remind you of like video game numbers. I mean, we're talking 87 touchdown passes, just 11 interceptions, playing in the SEC of all conferences. That's unreal. 87, just think about that, 87 touchdown throws and just 11 interceptions. And also a 93.5 career total quarterback rating, which is the best metric in the history of college football. I mean, come on, man. So, you know, right now I'm looking at kind of the Caesars Sportsbook, and they have the odds listed at minus 110 for Tua to go to either the Detroit Lions or the Miami Dolphins. And we've been reading about this for weeks. You know, the Dolphins are reportedly interested in may be in talks with the Lions to swap picks, something like that. And if Tua, he's going to be drafted in the first round. Tua is going to be the first Alabama quarterback under Nick Saban to be drafted in the first round. This is kind of mind-boggling. Since 07, since 2007, that was the last time that Nick Saban had a quarterback go in the first round. We know about the Alabama system. They've been living off, you know, running backs and freak athletes on the defensive side of the football for years, right? I mean, you know, that's the system that Nick Saban has. But, you know, Tua came in and was just like, oh, my goodness. I mean, this kid is otherworldly. So you look at the situation, you know, you look at Tua and you compare that to what's happening with Matthew Stafford right now. Just looking at his situation just briefly here, Matthew Stafford, who has been in the conversation a couple of times throughout his career as a Detroit Lion. I mean, this guy is a fringe Hall of Fame quarterback here. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame when his career is said and done. I think he's going to go down as the greatest Detroit Lions quarterback of all time. That bar isn't crazy, crazy high, though. I'm not going to go on the history of the Detroit Lions quarterbacks. But he is under contract through the 2022 season. He's had injury problems. So we're talking about two injury-prone quarterbacks here. He missed the final eight games of 2019 with a back injury. He was placed on the injured reserve list in December of last year. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, you know, the news came out prior to the start of last season that he finished the year prior to that with broken bones in his back. That's serious stuff, man. And Matthew Stafford still, I mean, when you look at his efficiency in the top five in multiple categories before he got injured, he is still an incredibly efficient quarterback when he is healthy and out there suited up in the Honolulu Blue. But I also ask myself, I mean, Matthew Stafford, who is not an old quarterback, I believe, and kind of correct me if I'm wrong, he'll be like 32 this year, I believe, something like that. Or is he 32 now? You know, he's not an old quarterback. That's not old. It is maybe in Detroit Lions years, though, because, you know, he has taken a beating left and right.
that has led to those back injuries. It's amazing. He is certainly an Iron Man. You cannot question Matthew Stafford's toughness, arguably the toughest player in Detroit Lions history. To have no offensive line and get hit that often, I mean, and to get back up and just go out there and still produce ridiculous numbers with subpar talent around him. Now, you know, he did have Calvin Johnson for a few years, right, throughout a lot of his career, I should say. But still, I mean, Matthew Stafford, man, he showed up when he was healthy enough to do so. You know, it took a broken back for him not to show up for you. But when is he going to get tired of losing? You know what I mean? I mean, you got to be tired of losing. You know, you're Matthew Stafford. He's not old, but he's 32 years old. He's not getting any younger. He's in the prime of his career. He's got to be looking at this and saying, man, if I was on another franchise right now, if I was a part of another team, you know, I'm sure I would have a few playoff runs, maybe even. It's not crazy to say he may have a ring. Depending on the situation, depending on the franchise, I mean, that's the kind of quarterback Matthew Stafford is. If you give him the pieces, and if you have some kind of a defense, who knows what kind of career Matthew Stafford could have right now. So, you know, there are a few scenarios that you kick around here, but, if Matthew Stafford wants to leave, I believe the frustration will build up to that point because I don't see the Lions making any kind of deep playoff run anytime soon. You know, why don't you take Tua and even if you got to, like, have him sit out a year, you know what I mean, and have him learn under Matthew Stafford, learn the system. If Stafford gets frustrated, you can always trade Matthew Stafford. Or the flip side, let's say Matthew Stafford, you know, is healthy, is putting up crazy numbers for a couple of seasons, you better believe that there are going to be some teams out there who are foaming at the mouth and looking at Tua Tagovailoa just sit over there on the sidelines and are willing to trade to grab Tua. I see this as a win-win, barring some kind of crazy scenario where both Tua and Matty Staff are hurt. And then you're sitting there saying, oh my goodness. I mean, that's like worst-case scenario. But I see this as a win-win. I don't see how you lose in taking such a dynamic quarterback who many NFL experts believe is a bona fide talent that you really can't pass up on. I don't understand that. But typical Detroit Lions fashion, they want to draft a corner. A corner. You know, I just want to piggyback off of what, you know, this is a segment that has gone viral, but Colin Cowherd had a segment, you know, national renowned radio host. I listen to him quite often. He knows his stuff. And, you know, he kind of broke it down. He had this whole bit about, you know, why the Lions can't pass up on Tua. And if they do, it will be a tremendous failure. And he goes to harp on the Lions wanting to draft a cornerback, who I'll get to who that projected corner is, you know, that the Lions are possibly looking at here. But if you look at the last five corners to be taken in the top five, well, I should say in the top 10 of the NFL draft, last five corners to be taken in the top 10 of the NFL draft. D. Milner, 2013, from Alabama, first round pick, number 9, to the New York Jets. Let's see how his career panned out. On July 29, 2013, that is when the Jets signed Milner to a fully guaranteed 4-year deal worth $12.66 million. That included a $7.58 million signing bonus. Milner was named the starting corner for the 2013 campaign alongside Antonio Cromartie. He experienced a horrible start to his career. He was benched 3 times during games for his, quote, lackluster performance. He had injuries in 2014, injuries in 2015. He was released in 2016. And you know what D. Milner is doing now? I couldn't tell you because he's not in the NFL anymore.
bust. How about Morris Claiborne? 2012 NFL draft pick. He went sixth overall, and this one is personal for me because he was drafted by my Dallas Cowboys. A pick that I thought was okay at the time. Looking back, it was an utter disaster. He had injuries with my Cowboys, and he bounced over to the New York Jets. Got to feel for the Jets. And he actually, though, what'd you say, Connor?
You don't need to feel for the Jets.
Yeah, it's just a bad franchise, man. Won a ring, though, last season with the Kansas City Chiefs. But guess what? He was inactive. He was officially on the roster, technically on the roster, but didn't play. He was inactive. And was suspended for substance abuse. How about Justin Gilbert? 2014, eighth pick to the Cleveland Browns. He had injuries. He was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Had really no impact on the steel curtain out there. He gets suspended in 2017 for, another substance abuse problem. Roger Goodell actually suspended him for a year. And guess what? Gilbert is not in the NFL. Jalen Ramsey, dynamic talent, but he's not with his team anymore. He didn't play well in the second half of the year out in L.A. Denzel Ward, solid, but no game changer. He has injury troubles as well. Those are the last five corners taken in the top 10 of the NFL draft. No impact, injuries, bust. Really, with the exception of maybe Jalen Ramsey. I don't feel right calling Jalen Ramsey a bust. He's a dynamic talent, but he's got his own problems, all right?
Ward, it's a bit early to call him a bust. He's had 1 year.
I'll bet you some lunch right now that Denzel Ward is not going to. But this is my point, though, Connor. Look, corners don't impact the game in the way a quarterback does. Why would you draft a corner when that is not your biggest need, in my opinion, for your franchise? When you have a game, I believe Tua Tagovailoa, if he pans out and barring any kind of more injury problems, and I know that I'm not trying to make that seem like, Al, you're just brushing over the injury problems. I mean, yeah, he's had some injuries, but what do you have to lose if you are the Lions? If this dude pans out for another franchise, Lions fans are going to be sick to their stomach. And again, it's not a This isn't a one-way street here, Connor. I mean, I don't see how this scenario is a lose if you draft Tua. If Stafford looks healthy and great, trade Tua. You'll get some pieces for him. Trust me. If Tua looks great, you can trade Stafford. You'll get something for him. You know, a corner just, it makes no sense for me. It's just way too safe. And those teams that play it safe in sports don't ever win. You will never win big by playing it safe. The quarterback position is the most important position on a football field. It's the most impactful position on a football field, and the Detroit Lions have an opportunity here that you don't get often. But they're going to screw this up and go with a corner, I guarantee it. Connor, let's get your thoughts on the other side of this first break. I know you got something to say on that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call or text that number. You can also, again, comment below our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll be right back. We'll also get to some Michigan State and Penn State talking in just a moment. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard my thoughts on this whole Detroit Lions number 3 NFL draft pick that they have, and it looks as though they are not. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong on this, but it looks as though they are not going to draft Tua Tagovailoa. I will say this: Mel Kiper right now does believe that he will go third overall, but I think maybe he's predicting that the Lions trade that pick to the Miami Dolphins, maybe your Dolphins. Dude, Connor, you're a Dolphins fan. This is fitting. It just hit me. You are a Dolphins fan. I always forget that. I'm pretty sure your friend, you're hoping this happens, right? You're hoping that the Lions trade this pick to the Dolphins and you guys snag Tua. That's what you want here, right? I hope that's what you want. If you're a smart man, that's what you want, right?
Yeah, here's the thing. The Dolphins have been putting out Tua vibes for basically a year and a half, which means they have essentially surrendered all leverage they have in with their current pick, which is why I'm even more convinced that either Washington or Detroit is going to trade down from their pick, take the Dolphins pick at 5, and take either their 18th or 26th pick. Here's the thing with Miami. Miami has so many first and second round picks the next 2 years that they could realistically send 2 to 3 picks at whoever's above them and whoever threatens that they're going to get Tua. That's why the recent rumors that that Washington is going to get Tua, I don't believe for a second. I don't, especially since how big of a fan Dan Snyder has been of Dwayne Haskins since he was in college. I don't think he's going to throw away Haskins after a year with how much he cares and how much his fingerprints are all over that organization. So I think from purely a leverage standpoint, the two teams in front of Miami already have that leverage. Why not exploit it to get more picks? For the Lions, in the Lions scenario, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback at that pick for this reason. At the end of last year, we heard that Patricia and Quinn got essentially a 1-year ultimatum: get to the playoffs or you're canned. If you are in the get to the playoffs or you're canned mode, you don't take a quarterback for the future. You try to throw together whatever you have on the roster currently to try to get into contention, which is why I think they're either going to trade down to try to get more elite bodies in that first round.
But real quick, I want to pause right there before you continue, not to cut you off.
Now go ahead.
Matthew Stafford, who has had injury problems, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really believe that Matthew Stafford, these past 2 years, who has had a bad back, you believe he's going to finish? You know, the chances is 50-50 for me when looking at Matthew Stafford's health, if he can finish a full NFL year healthy. Wouldn't you want a solid, because that was a huge problem last year for the Lions. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a backup. Wouldn't you want Tua to be that guy, the ultimate safety net to come in, the quarterback you draft at number 3, to be that guy to come in and maybe keep things afloat for your franchise, especially we know that hot seat, as you just talked about, that hot seat right now, it's pretty hot. It's steaming hot for Matt Patricia right now. And I'll throw Bob Quinn in that conversation as well. I mean, so to that point, that still makes no sense to me.
You
think a corner? And Jeff Okuda player that they're looking at Ohio State.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, you need an impact player, or are you just going for volume? Because we all know these NFL draft picks, a lot of them, more – Then, in comparison to those who pan out and are not bust, most of them are bust.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing with that. You know, they say cornerback, but I also think that the Lions could also be in play for a top defensive lineman. You know, Flowers was a good addition, but he didn't make, you know, the necessary waves that we saw. And also, it's kind of early still, too, to be talking draft. We still have free agency, and I think that's a big part. You know, I want to kind of see what the Lions do in free agency, because the Lions could very easily go out in free agency, snag a cornerback, and all of a sudden we're talking about a whole different ballgame. The other thing, too, is on that breaks down towards draft night. Again, if Washington trades that pick to Miami or trades that pick to L.A., then all of a sudden Chase Young's on the board, and all of a sudden the Lions don't go for a quarterback. I don't think they would go for a quarterback. The other thing, too, is if you're the Lions and you're able to trade down that pick, it's a deep quarterback class. You can still find a quarterback. And let's say you trade with Miami. You trade down to 5. Okay, we'll say that Burrow goes number 1, Washington stays pat at 2, and they get Chase Young. Miami takes Tua. All right, now you have your pick at, you know, you can get your cornerback if the Lions don't fix that in the free agency.
And don't even get
you
me can started get your defensive on how line. Bad they botched, totally botched, Darius Slay and his deal.
Oh, they botched.
Oh, my goodness.
They botched the entire secondary. The entire secondary.
It's typical Detroit, in typical Detroit Lions fashion, you know, the Lions handling of Darius Slay, one of the most dynamic defenders in the National Football League. It's another black eye for management. Yep. It is another black eye and just another window into why this franchise continues to fail year after year after year. To know that Darius Slay pretty soon is not going to be a member of the Detroit Lions is so disheartening. It's got to upset you to the ninth degree as a Lions fan.
Which brings me to my next point. Now you have your disgruntled superstar, right? The NFL official league year begins in a week or two. Let's say they trade Darius Slay because, you know, they're the Lions and they hack this up all the time. They're going to get probably a second round, third round, maybe even a first round from some team like a contender that's like, okay, we're a defender away. We just need someone opposite of our guy, or we need that lockdown defender. You can get a low end, higher round pick. So they could also have value there. But what I'm thinking here is if you're able to trade down, you get, let's say the Dolphins send them the 18 and the 5. That's two picks there. They trade Darius Slay because they're incompetent and they can't figure out how to work it out. And, you know, let's say they trade him to a contender and they're able to get either a high second or they're able to get a low first rounder. That's three first round picks. The quarterback draft is set up, so I think LA is going to take Herbert. They need a quarterback unless they address that in free agency. But then you look at the rest of the quarterbacks still there. That's if Herbert's off the board. You got Jordan Love, who I think could be a decent fit for Lions. I mean, you're going to have him sit behind Matthew Stafford. If Matthew Stafford gets hurt, I think Love can kind of come in and hold his own.
Great combine, but I'm still not sold on Love just yet.
And then you have, you know, Jake Fromm, accomplished quarterback at Georgia. Again, a guy that you're not necessarily, you don't want to throw him into the fire right away, but maybe if he sits behind Stafford and has to come in as a relief role for a couple games, but kind of still in that backup role. And then you have Jalen Hurts. I think those are three realistic options for the Lions. If they get those lower picks, I mean, they can address that cornerback need if they don't get it. They can address that that interior defensive line need again if they don't address it in free agency. And they can possibly address the quarterback in the first round. If they trade down, they get three picks.
I just look at this, Connor, and I say, you got Tua sitting there. It's some risk. Don't get me wrong, because of his injury history. But my goodness, I think the reward is greater than the risk. Just my opinion there. But again, it's the Detroit Lions. Yeah. They'll go. This is what's going to happen. They are going to go, with a corner. They're going to play it safe, and they'll go with Okuda at the number 3 overall pick, or they'll trade that pick to the Dolphins, and then you guys will have Tua. Tua will go on to have a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, stop.
And we'll be
stop,
looking
don't.
Back at this and saying, oh, boy, the Lions had Tua at number 3, and look what they did. Okuda ended up turning out being a bust. He'll be out of the league in 5 years, and we'll be looking back at this saying, wow, this is one of the biggest busts of all time, and Tua will go on to lead your Dolphins to at least a ring, one ring in his career. And we'll be looking at this and saying, yep, this is like a Darko Milicic situation, like when my Detroit Pistons, when they had a top pick. That's what's going to happen,
Connor. Can you imagine that this draft ends up being like the 04 NBA draft? You got Burrow. Burrow goes on to Cincinnati. He leaves. He comes back, wins a title. Then you got Chase Young, tears it up in Washington. He gets them back to relevancy. Tua goes on, wins the Super Bowl with Miami. And then you got Detroit coming in at number 4. Ah, yes, the Darko Milicic. What did he do? Oh, well, he was on a team when we went to the playoffs once.
Right, exactly. You know, and they won a championship. Darko has a ring, an 0-4 ring.
And now he's a potato farmer.
Exactly. And you know what? Darko was picked number 2 in that 0-3 draft. You know, like LeBron James, Wade, Carmelo. Was Chris Paul in that as well?
I think Chris Paul was the following year.
He was the following year? Yeah. Okay. But that was such an amazing year. 0-3.
Bosch was in there. Bosch was in there
Chris
for Bosch. Toronto.
Oh, my goodness. And we get Darko Milicic.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh boy,
he has a ring though. He got what you were promised.
He did. Yeah, that's not happening with the Lions though. But this is going to be a similar situation, I believe. That's just how it's going to crumble for the Lions here. All right, this is our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about tonight's big Michigan State and Penn State basketball game. You know, Michigan State, if they get a win here, oh boy, if they get a win tonight in Happy Valley, I don't want to jinx it. Let me not say it right now. We'll be right back. We'll come back. We'll talk Nittany Lions and Spartans. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Tonight is a huge night, Spartan fans, because Michigan State will take on Penn State on the road. As we highlighted during yesterday's show, the Spartans are in second place right now of the Big Ten Conference. That is where your team is right now. And it's a three-way tie. You've got Michigan State, Illinois, and Wisconsin sitting all at 12-6. Maryland still leads the Big Ten Conference at 13-5. Maryland plays Rutgers tonight. Michigan State plays Penn State tonight. Depending on how it shakes, your Spartans could be tied for the lead of the Big Ten Conference. I said I wasn't going to jinx it before hitting that final break just now, but I'm not going to jinx it. Come on, man. I'm not that superstitious. Hopefully I'm not eating those words tomorrow. But you know, Maryland and Rutgers tonight, Michigan State and Penn State, this is a huge opportunity for this team. I'm still sticking by what I stated on yesterday's Current Sports. I do believe Michigan State right now is hitting its stride. But these final two games, it's not going to be easy in Happy Valley. It's going to be a really raucous atmosphere. Maryland is going to be highly motivated tonight, taking on Rutgers. That's a 500 team in the conference. I think Maryland will win out for the year. I think Michigan State is going to split for the year. But they've proven me wrong multiple times this season. Let's see if they do it tonight. You know something very interesting, though, Connor? I have realized this. I'm still looking for one player to emerge for Michigan State. We did see him three games ago, but if you take away that game, he's been relatively absent. And to the surprise of many, including myself, he really isn't a factor in the rotation right now. And I think you know who I'm talking about. Gabe Brown. I'm still looking for Gabe Brown. You know, he had a great game against Nebraska, but you know, that's Nebraska. You know, it's Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska, no offense, but Nebraska is 2-13 in the Big Ten Conference. Gabe Brown, he had 17 points in that game. He was 6 of 9 from the floor. He looked great. But if you take away a win against Nebraska, Gabe Brown has been relatively absent. And right now, when you look at the rotation for your Michigan State team, it's a 7-man rotation that really doesn't include Gabe Brown. I mean, you got your starters in Xavier Tillman, Aaron Henry, Malik Hall, Rocket Watts, Cassius Winston. The two players who are getting the bulk of the minutes off the bench for Michigan State are Thomas Kithier and Kyle Arntz. After that, I mean, you know, Julius Marble, Foster Lawyer, Marcus Bingham, and Gabe Brown. You know, who, when you look at the Maryland game, I mean, Marble played, you know, 9 minutes. Bingham played 3, and it's a little disappointing when it comes to Bingham as well, because Bingham's size, Bingham has shown, though, that he's still got some learning to do. That muscle between the ears, understanding the X's and the O's, that still has to come for him. You know, he was encouraging a bit at the start of the year, but he's teetered off. Bingham only played 3 minutes in that win over Maryland. Foster Lawyer is Foster Lawyer. I'm not going to harp on Foster Lawyer anymore unless he has a breakout performance. And Gabe Brown just, you know, he played 5 minutes against Maryland. 0-for-1 from the floor. No points. He had one assist, one rebound. But if you would have told me, Connor, that Gabe Brown will be playing second fiddle off the bench to Thomas Kithier and Kyle Arnes, I would have said you're crazy, especially during that middle stretch of the year when Gabe Brown looked like he was turning a corner, you know, using that athleticism, going up for rebounds and hitting that wing three. But he has not really, again, if you take away that Nebraska game, Gabe Brown is on a milk carton. He's missing right now still. It's a bit. Am I lying when I'm saying that?
I think he's missing a bit. I think part of it, the reason why he's kind of buried there behind those bigger guys is because, you know, during that rough Michigan State stretch, what was the one of the biggest areas of concern? It was rebounding. It was Zave Tillman being the only one that was grabbing boards. So you get throw some more bigs in there and hope that they can get more boards. And I just don't think. I think that's where he kind of got phased out because, you know, Gabe Brown isn't going to come in there and grab, you know, 4 or 5 boards a game. So it kind of makes sense to me in that regard. But I think he could be one that could benefit from a decent Big Ten tournament run.
I think Gabe Brown right now is one of those players that, you know, he's going to show us from time to time, you know, maybe like 12 to 13 points, you know, every once in a while.
Role player.
Exactly. But you know, being a consistent guy in the rotation right now, it's a 7-man rotation that does not include him. So if you do get a great double-digit performance from him from here on out, it'll be icing on the cake, you know, a cherry on top, if you will. So we'll see. Maybe he emerges tonight. You got to contain Lamar Stevens. It's Lamar Stevens and the Stevenettes. When it comes to Penn State. So tonight, 7 p.m. On ESPN, big matchup, Spartans versus Penn State. You got to root for Rutgers tonight. Hopefully Rutgers can hand Maryland an L.
Best home team in the Big Ten, Rutgers.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun night in the Big Ten Conference. Enjoy it. We'll recap it all on the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Much love to Connor Mathis. Thanks so much, Connor, for coming in today. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be easy, people.